Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
live. Yeah, okay. You know you're fine.
Amp Radio.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. My name is Proteus. I will be here with you all night. I am joined tonight, ladies and gentlemen, by the regular cast of characters, but we'll get into that in a second. Tonight we are here to do hashtag Smack My Picks Up for Barbosa versus Gaethje, also known as hashtag UFC Philadelphia. Also, if you want to go AKA, UFC on ESPN2. That's right, big ESPN proper will be held March 30th, 2019 at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. I said, hashtag UFC Philadelphia. As I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Proteus. I am coming at you live and direct from the mean streets of Brantford, Ontario. That's right, the AMP Studios International. As I mentioned, I am this evening lucky enough to be joined by the usual cast of characters. Let's go ahead and bring them in as soon as I tell you what we're going to be doing this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a little main event, co-main event, everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night. And we're also going to do a little Amp Radio Rewind. But of course, we have some breaking news. We have some fight announcements. We have a little bit of, I think we're going to have a little bit more of a discussion about what this ESPN Plus pay-per-view deal really entails, because Marco wants to speak about that. So lots to get to this evening, so I digress, and let's go ahead and bring in the first lady of Amp Radio herself. A little bit under the weather tonight. It's Pam from North Carolina.
Hi guys, welcome from the Duke Nation. You have to bear with me tonight. I've got a sinus infection and bronchitis, and so yeah, I'm a little bit under the weather and I sound terrible, but I am here and ready to discuss some fights.
You sound just fine to me, Pammy, and yeah, you were talking last week about it being a little bit of allergy season, but it turned out to be something a bit more serious.
Oh yeah, I thought, you know, here, because we've got these longleaf pines and they produce all this pollen. So you go outside and everything's just coated with pollen. So I kept, you know, I was having like pollen in my eyes. And you can taste it and it's in your throat. It's everywhere. And I thought I was just, you know, it's just allergies. And normally it doesn't bother me. But man, I just couldn't kick it. And I finally decided to go to the doctor, which I never go. And I even have like an eye infection from the, you know, from the sinus infection. So I have like a triple threat, man. So yeah, I'm on major antibiotics, you know.
Talk about three piece in a soda, am I right? Ba-doom boom.
Right, for real. Three piece in a what do you take?
Eye infection.
Three piece in cough syrup. How about that? And then I had an allergic reaction to the cough syrup. So.
Oh, Lord. He's the original B-boy himself, deep from the heart of, I believe, North California somewhere. I think he's in transit, but let's go ahead and play his music. It's DJ Tony, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, DJ!
Proteus, I may not have Pam's three-piece and an eye infection, but I am in a three-piece suit. I'll tell you guys, nothing gets me more excited. I'm just chilling out because Pam sent over some green stuff, and I'm chilling out in the car. I'm lying real quick. Hashtag, thank you.
Hey, are you in that Conor McGregor suit again today?
Yes, I believe in Conor McGregor's retirement and Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and everything else.
Now, I was asking if you were in that Conor McGregor suit again today in your three-piece suit.
No, you know
your
what? Plaid doesn't work all the time.
No. All right. Fair enough. So let's go ahead and move on to the star of the show. Of course, you know him. You love him, just like everyone else on this cast of characters. But he happens to hail from deep in the heart. Pammy?
Of Texas.
Of Texas.
You don't want me to say it.
It's Marco from Waco, brother.
The boys are
back. Back.
The good is I can tell them too. Everybody's back. Oh, man. What a week of MMA, dude. News all over the place. So we have to start. Let's talk some MMA, for crying out loud. Let's talk some MMA.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Marco.
From Marco. He's in Texas. How are the aren't you Texas is having a big explosion of the blue bonnets this year? Am I correct?
Say that again.
The blue bonnets, the Texas blue bonnet, isn't that your state flower?
Something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, but isn't this year they're having like a really big explosion of blue bonnets blooming all over the place? I've been keeping up with that.
I take your word for it. I don't keep up with Texas so much, even though I live here. Mm-hmm. I only live here. I don't claim it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, last week, Pammy was telling us about National Naked Gardening Day. Today, with the blue bonnets. This Saturday, it's going to be a little chilly for me to get out there naked, Pam, but you should go ahead and get on that. Remember, you got to get on.
Drinkage. I'll
send
you one of
those
really warm
for us. Everybody's excited. We've had a lot of feedback about those pasties.
I need to send you one of those really warmers. Have you seen them?
No, I have not, but you can send me the
picture
later. But let's go ahead and get into this, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Tony, go ahead and cue that music. To the lightweight division we go, ladies and gentlemen. Edson Barboza, our boy, again. Another one of our boys, Justin Gaethje.
Oh.
Man, what a slobber knocker. This is, you know what, man? That's what I'm calling this fight. It's just slobber knocker. And I know we're probably putting too much pressure
slobber
on these guys, but whoa, hello. All right now. Let's go ahead and get into this. Edson Barboza, 20 wins, 6 losses against your boy, Justin Gaethje, coming over from, well, what is now the PFL at 19-2 losses, of course, ladies and gentlemen, coming into the UFC and, you know, hitting some tough competition. Going up against Marco in this particular fight against a really tough Edson Barboza and looking strong. What do you got here, brother, in the main event of UFC on ESPN2?
So let's rename this There Will Be Blood, because, man, I'm so excited for this fight. This fight got fireworks, celebration, violence written all over it. Dude, I've been flipping on this fight left and right, because we had noticed that Mr. Gaethje, when he faces those technical guys, he kind of sort of runs into trouble, you know, but even though he runs into trouble, he still gives you a freaking fight for the ages. And we can see his finishing power. I mean, he can finish you. He is 2-2 since he came to the UFC, but all of his fights have been fight of the night, or winning or losing. Barboza, we know about him, you know, Mr. Leg Kick Galore, Mr. Spinning Weekend versus Terry Adam, you know, highlight reel forever. Perennial contender for years and years. This is a fight that you should see on ESPN. All that said, you know, I am a mark for Justin Gaethje. I think that his go on your chill attitude is super fun to watch. Edson is a more technical guy, granted. I know Gaethje is not going to use his wrestling, because even though he has it, he doesn't use it. But he's going to just keep pushing forward and pushing forward and pushing forward. And it's a five-rounder. And if he doesn't get knocked out, he's going to knock Barboza out. I'm betting on him not getting knocked out. I'm betting on him outlasting Barboza. And I'm betting on him winning on the fourth round by KO. So give me Justin Gaethje by KO on the fourth round.
Okay. And, of course, Marco, as we have mentioned on previous shows, this one going into the main event rounds, not championship rounds on this one.
Yeah,
so we've got you down, Marco, for Gaethje and the fourth by KO. All right, Pammy, let's throw to you on this one, because, again, you said, you mentioned we should probably drop Pony at this particular point. We'll get to it at some point. But you mentioned, you know, two hotties on this one here for you. What's going on here, Pammy?
That's
what you got?
Okay. Who loves Justin more than I do? No one. Do you remember back when I was always talking about him when he was with WSOF. I was always, hey, just engage. You guys got to look at this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, blah, blah, blah. He has always been one of my favorites. He is probably so nice. I don't know. I posted a picture of he and I on Twitter. But anyway, this guy, you know, their sets are really close. Edson is 33, Justin 30, both of them 5'11". Edson does have a 4-inch reach advantage. You know, we know sometimes those inches matter. Keep in mind, Barbosa went three rounds with Khabib. Although he lost, he went three rounds with Khabib. The thing about Justin is his fight resume is you're looking at World Series of Fighter guys and, you know, Michael Johnson. He has losses to Poirier and Alvarez, 16 KOs and 1-2 decisions. The only issue I have with him is his fight IQ. I think he doesn't listen to his corner, and he kind of pulls a little bit of a Cody and just goes out on his own. And I think he's going to cardio out because he goes full blast, full blast, full blast. Looking at his stats, he has not ever gone five rounds. He's gone four rounds and has lost to Dustin Poirier. Edson Barbosa has gone five rounds one time. So I think both of them, you know, I don't know how they're going to do in the championship rounds. I think Edson Barbosa, as he's gotten older, he's gotten a little bit more settled. He's a little bit more technical. He's not wasting shots anymore. He's just become a little bit more refined. He's won 7 of his last 10. I'm going to pick him a third round TKO. I think it's going to do one of his crazy wheel kicks. I'm picking Barbosa, third round TKO.
All right. Tammy going with the third round TKO.
But I love Justin.
Now, who doesn't, right? I mean, and that's exactly what we're going for here. Like, I mean, styles make fights, and this one probably going to be a slobber knocker. Tony, as I mentioned at the top, Tony, let me give you the odds before you weigh in here real quick. Edson Barbosa right now on Five Dimes as we record this show. We are recording Wednesday before the event a day early. Edson Barbosa, it is a minus 135. Justin Gaethje, as Pam was alluding to, coming back at us at a plus 115. Tony, what you got going on here in the main event?
I think Pam hit the nail right on the head, Proteus. Listen, if we were just to look at Justin's IQ period, it would be extremely high. Something happens, though, between being extremely learned and all of a sudden he gets into a fight. Marco's the first one to say it, so are you. You can't do MMA math, doesn't work, period, end of story. But if you look at Justin Gaethje, who he's fought, he's never fought anyone like Edson Barbosa. Not Luis Formiga, not anybody in the PFL World Series of Fighting, even though it wasn't a World Series. He's never fought anyone like that. And unfortunately, I think that's what's going to happen. Because even if you look at Johnson, he's not Edson Barbosa, not even close with those kicks. Eddie Alvarez, not even close. Dustin Poirier, not even close. And he is so heavy on that front leg. I think Barbosa, unfortunately, is going to KO Justin Gaethje, who I'm a big fan of. So just Edson Barbosa, kick, probably some sort of spinning kick, TKO, and I don't think it goes even three. Let's say late second, early third, Edson Barbosa, TKO.
All right, I can't let you sit the fence. You got to do second or third, please.
Second round. Late second round,
all right.
TKO.
All right. We'll give you a second, TKO. All right. Wonderful. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. And listen, I know we want to belittle Justin Gaethje because, you know, he likes to lead with his head. And that's kind of the thing that Edson Barbosa may be looking for. You guys are right. But let's talk about Justin Gaethje for a second because he can utilize – the leg kicks very, very well. And if he's mm-hmm. able to do that against Edson Barbosa in this particular fight, then he removes a weapon from Edson Barbosa, just as we saw Anthony Pettis do last week against the Wonder Man. But I digress. We will get into that in the next segment of the show. Then if Justin Gaethje is able to do that like he has done against many opponents, then I think he could take the kicking game of Edson Barbosa out of the question. And we know that it's not going to go to the ground unless Justin Gaethje takes it there, because I don't think Edson Barbosa wants it to go there. And I think Justin Gaethje is very good at applying the pressure, especially early on in the fight, taking the fight to you, getting those leg kicks in, you know, pressuring you, you know, as you would expect a wrestler to do. against Edson Barboza, as we know, as Pam said, you know, getting up there in age, kind of a more technical fighter. I just think that Edson Barboza is, as you guys say, other than Marco, is the superior fighter. I do believe that the guide map is out there on Justin Gaethje. If you are able to do that, if Edson Barboza is able to stay back, get the distance, maybe block some of those kicks, maybe do a Chris Weidman against Anderson Silva and check some of those kicks. Maybe we see a broken leg again, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. But I think that Edson is going to be smart enough to block those leg kicks that I mentioned at the top. I think Edson Barboza is going to be able to go ahead and get this done. And Marco, I'm going to say fourth round TKO. I'm going to go with the fourth round with you as well. I think we're going to get into the main event rounds. But I think that, as we mentioned previously, Justin Gaethje, kind of, if he gets into those rounds that he hasn't been in a long time, i.e. the main event rounds, he's going to have a little bit of trouble. And I think Edson's going to be able to do that. As you mentioned, Pammy, he's been three rounds with Nurmi. So I think lesson learned there.
You put me on an island. They only got to pick Gaethje. Let's remember, the only two times that he had lost in his life, it was a war of attrition because he was winning the Eddie Alvarez fight until he got cut, and he was winning the Dustin Poirier fight until he got cut. So I don't know if Edson Barboza has ever been on a war of attrition. I still ride it with my horse. Go Gaethje.
Yeah, right on, man. And you know what? That's what's going to set you apart from everybody else. If you get that win, that's what's going to set you apart, man, because you're the only one that chose him. And I'm not – like we've all said, caveat on this one, we all like Gaethje. We all like his fighting style. But I think maybe, Marco, the guide map is out on Justin Gaethje and how to beat him. DJ Tony, cue that music. To the middleweight division we go. David, the executive branch against Jack Hermansson. So let's go ahead and get into this one, ladies and gentlemen. I'll go ahead and give you the odds. David Branch, unfortunately, not the favorite in this one right now on five dimes at a plus 105. Jack Hermansson at a minus 125. So, Pammy, let me go ahead and give you the guy's records first before I get right into this one, if I can. I tell you what, this UFC website is brutal. I hate it so much.
I don't even
know. So we're
going
to do that later. I know. It's just stupid. So let's go ahead and get into it, Pammy. Let's throw it to you in the co-main event. You got David Branch. You got Jack Hermansson.
Okay. I don't know a lot about Jack Hermansson, whatever, hermano. I don't know a lot about him.
Jesus.
I do know the common denominator between both of these guys is Thiago Santos. David Branch had a first-round KO, and Jack lost to Thiago Santos. So both of these guys have won 8 of their last 10 fights. Branch has losses to Rockhold and Cannonier. Branch is a decisionator. Jack Hermansson, does KOs. But like I said, I don't really know enough about Hermansson to really make like a super, super cool breakdown of him. But his last 4 wins, he had 3 by submission and 1 by KO. But you know what? I think that David Branch, he's a little bit older. He's got the longer reach. I think he's just a little tiny bit more experienced, and his fight resume is just a little bit better. I'm picking him by decision.
Okay. So you're taking Branch by decision. All right. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. What do you got going on here in the co-main event, Tony?
Listen, Jack the Joker Hermansson, he's actually a pretty good striker, and I know that we haven't seen too much of his work, and I'm very familiar with David Branch from being in the World Series of Fighting. The PFL! Never mind. But I'll tell you, the one thing that's great about this UFC World Series of Fighting, well, you're right, it's not. It's ESPN, UFC on ESPN, too. I don't know why I keep thinking World Series of Fighting. Oh, because David Branch is in there. And Justin Gaethje, but the one thing that we've seen about David Branch is that he does not do well with striker guys. If you look at his victories over Vinny Vent Magalhaes, some of the people, yes, you know, he did TKO. I forgot who it was. It wasn't Jared Cannonier. He TKO'd somebody else, which we didn't think that would happen. But he got really outclassed by AKA's own Luke Hockhold. You know what? I don't think he's going to do well in this one. And I'm shocked that he's not the favorite, because I would think that he would have been the favorite. But I think Vegas is telling us where we're leaning on this. I think he might get hurt and hurt bad probably late in the third round. So I'm taking the Joker, Jack Hermanson, over David Brandt.
In the third? Late in the third?
TKO in the third. Okay. Early in the third.
Okay. All right. We'll give you early in the third as well, whichever one you want. All right. So let's go ahead and give these records real quick, because I finally found them. David Branch, 22-5 and 0 against Jack Hermanson. The Joker, as DJ Tony pointed out, 18-4-0. I think you're on the right path here, DJ Tony. I think that David Branch, when he comes up against a talented striker, which I do think Hermanson is, and you know, 18-4 is not a record to sneeze at. He also is a younger fighter. I mean, everything else is, as Goldie used to say, virtually identical in the height and the weight and the reach. It's all going to come down to whether or not Hermanson can keep David Branch off of him and keep him at a distance where the wrestling game is not going to factor into it. I think Marco can agree with me on that one. If David Branch is able to get a hold of Hermanson and take him to the ground, we may see what we saw in last week's co-main event, which, you know, was a wrestling battle, but of course for the casual fan was not very interesting. We could get that one again, but I'm not going to go that way, DJ Tony. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to think that the Joker is going to be able to get this one done in a TKO in the second, not the third. I'm going to take the second. All right, Marco, we're going to throw to you the voice of reason, because last week, as I had alluded to, you kind of put us in our place. So go ahead and put us in our place again this week if you need to. Go ahead, brother. What you got?
How about my record last week?
It wasn't great, but you got that one particular fight right, and I'm going to give you credit later on, too, in the next segment. So go ahead, brother.
No, bro. Well, I like the fact that, like Tony pointed out, that David Branch and Justin Gaethje graduated from NBCSN to ESPN. That main and co-main on big ESPN, you know, the former WSOF champions. And David Branch was a champ on WSOF. Never mind that. But, look, the Joker, don't know too much about the dude. I'm going to be honest, man. I know the name recognition on Branch. I know he's a really good fighter. I know his ground game is outstanding. And he likes to pressure people. I'm going to ride with the WSOF team just because, you know, it'd be cool to see Branch and Gaethje win on the same card. So I'm going to pick Branch.
Yeah.
It's not a confident pick, because I know the Joker, it is a good fighter. I don't know much about it, but I care about his reputation. But I'm going to pick Branch. I think he's going to use his grinding style, take it to the ground, and suffocate this guy and just win a close, semi-boring decision, 29-28. So give me David Branch and an all-around victory for the WSOF for my champions.
Right on. All right, sounds good, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, and move on to everyone's favorite segment of the show, hashtag Spotlight Fight of the Night. Go ahead and cue that music, DJ Tony. All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you. What do you got going on here in the Spotlight Fight of the Night? I think I know where you're going with this one. I'm just going to be honest.
You guys know me. There's no doubt about it. Listen, something about Desmond Green versus Ross Pearson. You guys know where I'm going with this. I'm sorry. And I know I'm taking this away from you, Proteus, but I got to go there. Exactly. Carolina Kovalkiewicz will fight Michelle Waterson. Oh, man. Talk about hottie
the
on hottie.
Karate hottie herself.
Much as I love them both, I'm picking Michelle Waterson with rear naked choke. Yes, I said naked. Rear
Sit
naked
down,
choke.
Man.
Karate hottie Michelle Waterson in the third.
All right. Thank you very much, DJ Tony, for that breaking news flash on that one. Spotlight fight of the night. All right. I'm going to throw to you, Pammy, for your spotlight for the night, because I just got thrown off by that one right there. So, Pammy, what you got for your spotlight fight of the night?
Okay, I'm being mature about this. I'm going Kevin Holland and Gerald Meerschaert. It's going to be a good fight. Anyway, I'm picking Kevin Holland by third round submission. I think, Meerschaert has 20 submissions. Again, common denominator in this fight, Thiago Santos again. Both of these guys have lost to Thiago Santos, but I'm picking Kevin Holland with the third round submission. Thank you.
Okay, in third. Okay, yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to go ahead and before we go to throw to Marco for his spotlight fight of the night, I just wanted to go ahead and make sure that everyone knows that Ray Borg is no longer fighting Kyler Phillips. He's now fighting Casey Kenney. The LFA double champion.
I thought that was a woman at first.
Nice. I apologize. Moving up.
Now, if you look at the picture on SureDog, that looks kind of like a woman. It looks like hair in the back, but I think it's just standing in front of some kind of logo. But I was like, who's that guy? You know. But anyway, whatever.
We're talking about Casey Kenney here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the little picture on SureDog, it kind of looks like a George Washington hairdo. So I'm like, what? Who's this guy? But anyway. Never mind. It's the meds kicking in.
Excuse me, bitch.
All right. So, Marco, let's throw to you. There's lots to choose from. DJ Tony had picked from the main card, you know, KK versus Michelle Watterson is a great fight. Let's throw to you, though, Marco. What do you got going on the spotlight for tonight for this one, brother?
So, just because the Argentino puto maldito Enrique Barzola is right on this card, I got to pick against him. I'm going to pick Kevin Aguilar to knock him out. So, fuck Barzola.
Okay.
All right. So, go ahead. We're taking Aguilar. Yeah. KO.
By knockout on the first round.
All right. Oh, man. You have a big problem with this Barzola fella, don't you?
Argentino puto maldito, yeah.
I just wanted you to say it again. All right, so listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna go with Ray Borg, okay? I'm going to go with Ray Borg just because of all of the out-of-the-cage incidents that have happened with him and in his life. As we know, if you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, I mean, he has been supported until he could get back into the octagon again. And I want him to get the win. I want him and his family to have enough money to support his son, who is having a great deal of problems. I haven't heard anything lately, so I hope that everything is leveled out. I'm going to take Borg, and I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him by second round TKO. I mean, I know this guy that he's going up against, Casey Kenney, is a tough dude. I think Ray Borg is one of those kind of seasoned veterans that can take on these new up-and-comers and get it done. So I'm going to vote for Ray Borg on this one, mainly solely.
And I'm sure he's highly motivated, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but he could also be invested emotionally. Go ahead, Marco.
A little note to the editor. I didn't know that Ray Borg was in the women's strawweight division. I did not know that.
Yeah. I was going to let that one slide. I was going to let that one slide, Marco, but thank you for bringing it up. That's Marco is bringing light onto our show notes for this one. Unfortunately, it was written down as women's. Yes. Okay. So let's go ahead and slide on to our next segment, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit of news and notes real quick.
What the hell's going on out here?
All right, so where do we start, ladies and gentlemen? We have a couple of fight announcements that came through recently before we started the show, so I'll go ahead and give them real quickly, and then we'll get into what I wanted to talk about is a little McNuggets talk. Okay, so breaking news from Brett Okamoto of ESPN, John Jones versus Thiago Santos, and Amanda Nunes versus Holly Holm have verbally agreed to fight at UFC 239. July 6th in Las Vegas. Also breaking news from Brett Okamoto. Tyron Woodley has agreed to fight Robbie Lawler once again. Verbally.
Oh, wow.
They're going to do it again, brother,
like
apparently.
A, like a,
a rap battle?
Do it again. That's right. That's right, Pam. Do it again, brother, at UFC Fight Night on June 29th in Milwaukee, which will probably be a very popular event down there. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that. Look, if anybody wants to comment real quickly, Marco, do you want to comment?
One more to add to that one. June in Chicago, Henry Seguro versus Marlon Moraes for the Bantamweight Championship.
Yep. That's right. That's right. I did see that one as well. So, of course, we know what's going to happen. We were talking about that last week. We now know what's going to happen. I think that's the right fight to make. I think that's a great fight to make. Marco, you want to comment on that one then?
Okay. I'm going to quick rundown of all the fights. John Jones, Thiago Santos is the fight that makes sense. You know, it's the progression of light heavyweight. There was rumor that he was going to face Stipe, and it lasted like less than 24 hours. And I'm happy that he's fighting the next contender. Clean out the light heavyweight division and then move to heavyweight John Jones. Those fights are always going to be there waiting for you. Speaking of Nunes versus Holly Holm, great fight. You know, I'm glad that she went back to 35 to defend her title. They're going to do the rematch with Cyborg eventually again. But, you know, defend your title. That International Fight Week is planning out to be a freaking awesome, awesome weekend on July 6th. Goodly Lawler, hey, the first time he faced a Lawler, I have a screaming match on Sirius XM with Tyron Woodley telling him Goodly Lawler was going to kill him. I'm not going to do that again. I hope for the best for Tyron. I still going to root for Robbie because he's my dude, but, you know, it's going to be a good fight. And the Marlon Moraes versus Seguro fight, I don't like it. Seguro was saying he was going to be the savior of flyweight. He got two freaking contenders waiting on him in Formiga and Benavides, and he's jumping to bantamweight to do this championship. Marlon Moraes had already made fight with Aljamain Sterling, or even Pedro Munhoz. You know, they could have done that fight for the freaking title and then do the champ bullshit later. This stagnated flyweight. And flyweight ain't going anywhere. We got two flyweight fights on this fucking card alone. Supposedly, Benavides and Formiga are facing each other to be the number one contender for the flyweight title. So, what are you doing, Segura? I mean, I know you want your legacy, blah, 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 but establish yourself a little, man. I know you beat Demetrius Johnson. I know you beat T.J. Dillashaw. You want to be a champion, but I don't know, man. The fight is going to be awesome. I'm going to enjoy it because, you know, it's a good fight on paper. But I'm going to be rooting for Marlon Moraes. I'm going to be honest, man, because I want Seguro to go back to flyweight and defend his goddamn title. So that's what I have to say about that one.
Yeah, and just quickly on that one, Marco, I don't think that's in his hands, and I don't think that's in Cejudo's hands. I think that's one thing that the USC is definitely cracking down on, that they want to, you know, weed out the 125 division, keep that champ relevant in 135. And
been loving for the fight. He's been loving all over the place for the fight. If he wanted to defend his title, he would have told either Benavides or Formiga that next. But he loving for the fight. He got it. Make all the money you can, Seguro. I'm not mad about him getting paid. Don't get me wrong. But if the flyweight division is going to stay around, we need Seguro to stay champion. So I'm going to be rooting for Marlon Moraes to win the fight, so he's forced to come down and defend.
All right, Pammy, let's go ahead and through to the next piece of news that we are talking about. Conor McGregor goes ahead and throws out that he is retiring from the sport of MMA once again. Of course, we have seen this in the past. Pammy, do you want to comment on this one real quickly before we move on to the next segment?
I think he is just such an egomaniac. I think there's just so much great stuff going on right now, and he can't stand that he's not in the spotlight, so he has to bot life. And, you know, I'm sorry. Good riddance. No, I'm not sorry. Good riddance. Just fucking go. Thank you.
So, Marco, this kind of leads us back into the conversation that we were having last week about, you know, the pay-per-views moving to ESPN Plus solely. And, of course, I know you wanted to talk about this, Marco, so let's throw to you. We're really seeing that the UFC is benefiting from this deal, right? We're seeing that they are making a lot of money, as you mentioned, from these licensing deals. And I just wanted to comment real quickly because I'm kind of a Disney fan. Excuse me. I'm kind of a Disney fan, and I've also been paying attention to what Disney is doing with their streaming service. You know, they just bought up 21st Century Fox, and they're really working on Disney Plus as well. So let's throw to you real quickly. Marco, you want to comment on, you know, maybe this era of Conor McGregor and his influence fading out and the money being more, as you mentioned last week, in these licensing fees. Go ahead, Marco, quickly.
So, well, first of all, do not believe this retirement bullshit until Conor takes himself out of the USADA pool. Until that is not effective, you know, he's still on the contract, he's still fighting. Because goals, and MMA Junkie made a good point yesterday. Until you retire yourself from the USADA pool, you're just bluffing. And I say now everybody's calling his bluff, including Dana. On him wearing a freaking piece of the freaking company, that is not going to happen. I mean, it could have happened when the Fertitas were around, maybe before the sale to WME, even right before the Habib fight, because he racked so much money for the company. But after the freaking ESPN deal was done, all that became a fantasy. Because on guaranteed money right now, we know they're making $300 million a year for ESPN Plus alone. $300 million a year. $1.5 billion for 5 years. Oh, sorry, 7 years. So put $2.1 billion for the next 7 years. $300 million on that. Dave Mercer, for the freaking Wrestling Inquirer, Insider, and all the other...
Observer.
Members, the Wrestling Observer, thank you. He just disclosed that the projected fee for the licensing for each pay-per-view that ESPN is paying is the equivalent of selling 500,000 pay-per-views per event. So as a minimum, the U.S. is getting $30 million a pay-per-view up front before they even start racking up. Everything after 500,000, they split the revenue, but just for having the pay-per-views, they're getting $30 million an event. That is $360 million a year on pay-per-view events alone, because you get one a month. That's 12. So ESPN alone is paying $660 million of guarantee money. Let's include to that all the licenses, all the other broadcasting partners that got around the world, in the BT, in the UK, Europe, Global in Brazil, you know, I think it's Univision or
yeah,
whoever.
They want Vitor Belfort, we know.
Latin America.
Global wants Vitor Belfort.
Oceania, Australia, Oceania, Australia, Japan. They are probably raking close to $1 billion a year in guaranteed money. Pay-per-view revenue is just icing on the cake now. Because even on the best pay-per-view that Conor McGregor ever had, that was freaking last year, and UFC freaking with Khabib, the 2.5 million pay-per-views that brought in about about $200 million on revenue. They have to split that 50-50 with the cable providers, and then whatever Khabib and freaking Conor did, the UFC only made probably $50 to $60 million in revenue on that one when everything was said and done. If you get that only once, and you're getting $1 billion a year in guaranteed money this year, the pay-per-view is not a business anymore. All the leverage Conor got is gone. And last but not least, all these freaking allegations and troubles of freaking Conor is getting now. Now, there is allegation, let's quote, it's allegation, he hasn't been charged with anything yet, of sexual assault last December on Ireland. The European courts are nothing like the United States. There is no presumption of innocence up there. If she gets to court, it's in a real pickle. But all this PR, is negative PR, is not telling just Dana White, because we think this is Dana White telling him, no, you're not getting respect of the company. This is Ari Emanuel, who is the real kingpin of the whole company, the real owner, the majority stake owner, Eddie Emanuel telling him, Conor, not only no, but hell no, man. We need you, but we don't need you that much because we got all this freaking money guaranteed each year, you know, that is coming whether we sell one pay-per-view or a million. So go kick rocks, Conor.
All right, DJ Tony, before I move on to the next segment of the show, do you want to weigh in on this real quickly?
Yeah, I mean, listen, my degree may be in accounting, but I'm certainly not a forensic accountant. Which is important because that's when you really dig into the numbers. Just like Goz and George, when Marco called in, I think it was Tuesday night. I mean, I don't know if I believe those
numbers.
And,
of course,
numbers.
That's on MMA Junkie Radio,
that,
right? Just for anybody
right,
who's
right.
listening that does is not familiar with MMA Junkie Radio, Marco was calling into MMA Junkie Radio. Go ahead, DJ Tony.
Right. I mean, we do know some recorded numbers. We do know numbers that are not recorded. I think one important step that needs to be honestly thought of that I think Marco is missing, yes, there's a reported number of subscribers that are not on ESPN Plus, but those are not paid subscribers. We don't know what their true number is. Number
Correct.
Two is the only way you can buy the pay-per-view, at least in the U.S., is if you're ESPN Plus subscriber. So that you have to understand that now you're taking away a larger net of people that can buy that pay-per-view. So I do think the numbers are better than we think. I certainly don't think the numbers are that high, but listen, Ari Emanuel, say what you want to say. He and his brother have done extremely well. WIMG is owned also by Peter Gruber, who's part owner of the Warriors. So I'm certainly a Disney fan and a Warriors fan. So, hey, if they're profiting, shout out to them. Kudos to them. But are we on the Conor McGregor news yet or not?
We already covered that, but you go ahead and weigh in real quick. Yep, go ahead.
All right, so just on that note, it's a boy who cried wolf, guys. Pam doesn't believe it. Marco doesn't believe it. I'm sure you don't believe it. Listen, this is if you believe that, then you believe in the Easter Bunny. Like I've already said, I have a Golden Gate Bridge to sell you that, by the way, isn't golden. It's actually brick color as well.
Oh,
so shout
nice
out,
one.
You know, hit me up if you want to, you know, if you want to buy that, because I buy that as much as I buy that T.J. Dillashaw, as we like to call him, T. Dilly, is clean. So there you go.
Oh, right on. Right
oh,
on.
No
yeah, I don't believe.
No shot.
I know. I don't believe that Conor McGregor is retiring either, but I think that as we have mentioned on the show before, I mean, his extracurricular activities are catching up to him, and perhaps that's factoring in. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to a recap of last week's fight. Marco, why don't you go ahead and drop that?
Rewind.
Perfect. Thank you, Marco. And let's go ahead and give this run real quick to Pammy.
Championship.
Yeah, way to go, Pammy. You get the championship for last week as well.
Again? Oh, my God.
Yeah, the Blades fight and the Mitchell fight that you got. The Mitchell fight you got exactly correct. You got Mitchell
on
by
point.
Decision.
That's right.
That's right. And, of course, you picked Blades. I was only one last week. Sorry, DJ Tony, you can't get into this conversation because you did not submit your pick. Okay, so, Pammy, let's start with you on the Wonder Man fight. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and discuss this quickly. We've got about 10 minutes to discuss this,
well,
and we got to get Marco
I mean,
in. We got to get Tony in. So what do you got going on here on this fight, Pam? The Wonder Man gets taken
well,
down
what I
at the end
done,
of the second.
That was beautiful. It was absolutely vintage Pettis. And I'm not mad that he won. You know, I'm upset, of course, that Stephen Thompson lost. That's why I picked. But, man, Anthony Pettis was right? And he still is. But even Stephen Thompson
wow.
said, that was so ninja, I didn't even see it coming. Kudos to him. Great fight. It was just amazing. I have nothing bad to say about this fight.
Yeah, Marco, I think that it's kind of correct to say that this is kind of Anthony Pettis, Wonder Man. I mean, we've seen Anthony Pettis come back at the end of rounds like this. He kind of gets guys when they're slipping, right?
Look, first of all, wow. I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah.
So me and my wife are watching the fight. And we're seeing
My
lovely wife, Adelaide. We're watching the fight. We're seeing, okay, you know, Wonderboy is doing really good. Anthony Pettis not looking too good. I mean, those leg kicks look okay. His nose getting bloody. First, I mean, it was four minutes and 45 seconds of the second round. My wife get up, you know, because the round is over. You know, she's going to get us a couple of drinks. He gets up. 10 seconds later, I go, Anthony Pettis just took a Wonderboy. And she goes around and goes, no, I missed it. He has to watch the replay. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. My wife's like so upset because she's like, I'll never do that again. I went to the round 10. But what can I say, man? Oh, my God, that was Superman punch. I guess we're going to call it the Showtime punch now. It was amazing, dude. I mean, Anthony Pettis is what Anthony Pettis is. He wow us with something unbelievable. And real quick, the other fight, Curtis Blaise versus Justin Willis. Justin
no,
Willis.
No, not yet. Not yet. So, not yet.
No,
not
okay.
yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You're going to be grounded.
Yeah, Anthony Pettis was amazing, and I'm so happy for him. Jorge
and you know what? Is there a more gracious loser than Stephen Thompson? Oh, my gosh.
Just
the epitome of class. He's just the epitome of class. Love him.
Tony.
I know.
Here's the thing.
Tony,
I really don't deserve to be on that. I really don't.
I know you don't, but
I'm
putting you
in
anyway. In
all fairness, but I will say this, guys. Listen, and Pam's absolutely right. In terms of just pure class, maybe Dominic Cruz, when he lost Cody Garbrandt, I thought that was just the epitome of class and professionalism.
Yeah.
I think Stephen Thompson just – I think Ray Longo said it best. If you don't like Stephen Thompson as a person, you don't like people. So, you know, shout out to Stephen Thompson, who's just a class act. Anthony Pettis. What's luck? Luck is opportunity meets preparation. I think there was a lot of luck. A lot of luck for a very, very talented striker. But I think if they run this fight 10 more times, I think we see a different result. But like Pam said, you got to be happy for these people. These people, I love right. Showtime, love Wonder Man. I think these people are just class acts. So.
Okay, so I just want to weigh in quickly. I thought that what I said last week rang true. When we saw the fight come through, we needed to see Anthony Pettis put that pressure on Wonder Man, which he did do. And of course, Marco, he was working those legs and taking Stephen Thompson's assets away from him, which I said he would have to do, and he was doing it. And I was surprised that the commentary team didn't point it out until when they did, because I noticed it earlier than they pointed it out. But I wanted to go ahead and throw to the co-main event, because Marco, I really wanted to give you your props on this one, because, you know, we went back and forth a little bit last week, and as DJ Tony mentioned, I mean, that edit, if you haven't heard it from last week, please go back, because DJ Tony made that show sound absolutely phenomenal. And of course, I also want to say, check out the in the Octagon AMP interviews, because they were awesome as well. So go check those out. DJ Tony spends a lot of time working on these things. But Marco, I wanted to give you a shout out, because you got this one right, man. Willis had absolutely zero wrestling game, whether or not he was caught up in the lights of the main of the co-main event there on this particular show, or if he both guys really. I mean, Blades just laid on him, but he didn't really do anything. And Willis had no answer. So let's throw to you, Marco. What you got here in the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 148 review?
Okay, so Razor Blades, man. I mean, Justin Willis talked so much crap through the week prior to the fight that he had to eat his words. And Curtis Blaydes wrestled fucked the shit out of Justin Willis, man. He body slammed him. He ragdolled him. Did you say he didn't do enough? But he didn't do nothing. I don't know why you were fighting, because he got a 30-27, 30-26, and a 30-25. He dominated this man in every single way possible. Justin Willis got three significant strikes the whole fight. And the rest, it was all Curtis Blaydes body slamming this man, picking him out like a 265-pound man. That goes out to 265, by the way. He walks out like 285, picking him up like a child and body slamming him left and right. So happy for Curtis Blaydes. I don't like the vibe that Justin Willis gives me. I don't know what is with him. It's nothing personal. I just don't like his style. I don't like the way he talks so much. I mean, if you are an AKA and you're supposed to be wrestling with freaking Daniel Cormier and freaking Cain Velasquez, your wrestling should be a little bit better. But he got exposed.
Yeah.
So Justin Willis, again, any of the elite wrestlers of the division, he'll get freaking mollywhopped like Curtis Blaydes did. So it is what it is. I mean, Blaydes... Willis is going to be around, whatever. He's going to talk trash again. I mean, he couldn't even be humble on his Twitter feed hours after the freaking fight. He said that's the last time he's ever going to lose. I doubt it. And Blaydes, he's called the Stipe Dos Santos Orengano, and that is the right move. You know, he was right there with Daniel. He should have called Daniel out, but he's a class act. He didn't want to freaking start an altercation with the heavyweight champion in an interview, so... It's a good job for Curtis Blaydes, man. Happy for him. And let's give him somebody like Junior Dos Santos. That would be a good fight.
Well, I mean, that would be a great fight. Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Pammy, do you want to go ahead and weigh in on this one quickly? And then we got to get out of here.
He picked up Big Pretty. That's how Paul takes me to bed.
Big titties?
It was amazing.
Big titties.
Well,
big titties. Yep, big titties. That's how Paul carries me to bed.
And just to say that I got Paul's picks as well. He did pretty well last week, right?
I think so.
I think so too.
I forgot what he. I think so, but not as good as I did, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have them up in front of me right now, but I wanted to give a shout out to Paul as well because he gave his picks as well, and I do apologize, Paul, for not getting those written down.
He says this casual pick is what he said.
What's that? One more time.
The casual pick. If he calls himself a casual. Yeah,
exactly, the casual pick. I'm going to have to add that into the show and that because I think that's a good segment of the show as well. All right, guys, I need to go ahead and get us out of here. So, DJ Tony, cue the music. All right, Pammy, so let's go ahead and get out of here for this week. What you got going on? You got a guilty pleasure of the week. You do have a Twitter follow of the week. Anything you want to give to us, Pam, what you got going on?
You know what? Right now, this week, my guilty pleasure has been Puff Plus with Vicks in it.
What's that?
I haven't been doing anything,
Puff
but...
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, Kleenex with Vicks in it. Oh, my gosh. I'm lame this week. I've just been so out of it, so... Sorry.
That's all right, Pammy. We know that you've been under the weather, and we appreciate you showing up for the show. That's all good. DJ Tony, you got a guilty pleasure for us this week, or do you got a Twitter follow that you want? I know it's probably the Karate Hottie, but you got something for us?
Yes! So the ESPN actually has done something really good in terms of biographies, et cetera, so you certainly want to watch the Karate Hottie being a great mother and MMA fighter, right, Pam? Really, really good.
That was awesome, yes.
It just makes you understand what it's like. Listen, being a fighter, it's certainly not glamorous. Most of the people don't make money, but if you see them just as normal people and just being a great mother, shout out to the Karate Hottie. My Twitter follow of the week, Proteus, will be, believe it or not the Karate Hottie, not the beautiful Carolina Kowalkiewicz, but someone making her UFC debut who's an outstanding striker in Sabina Mazo. So shout out to Sabina Mazo, Colombia's own killer queen. So shout out to at Sabina Mazo.
I said, isn't today also her birthday?
I thought it was yesterday. I could be wrong, but you're right. Yeah, happy birthday, and shout out to Colombia's own Sabina Mazo.
All right, right on, right on. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. My Proteus's shower pick, Tony, you're going to know this one really well, and it's going to be a throwback. It's going to be Beanie Man. Sima, Sima, who got the keys to my Beamer?
Hold on.
Listen, I have not been able to get, I don't know why, I haven't been able to get this song out of my head, and I've added it to the shower picks. Go back and listen to it. You know what, man? Just put this playlist on shuffle, on random, because it's pretty good. And any song that's on this list is good. And just to remind you guys, go ahead and check me out on the YouTube. It's the YouTube music playlist. It's called Proteus' Shower Picks. Check it out. All right, Marco. Let's throw to you. We're at 9 o'clock. We're at the hour mark. Why don't you go ahead and get us out of here with your guilty pleasure Twitter follow of the week. What you got? And just before you mention that, I just wanted to say I got my All Things Coheed podcast shirt on right now. Shout out to them. Marco, what you got?
No guilty pleasure this week, but a big old shout out to Misha Tate. Today she is her last show on Sirius XM because she's going to Singapore. The PP of ONE SC. She's taking off, I guess, at the end of the week. She's finally leaving to Singapore. And, this woman to be getting a better sense in Singapore. You will hear her back in Sirius XM in about a month. She's going to do the show remotely. But, you know, for now, good luck, Misha. Have fun in Singapore with your family. I hope they paid you all the money in the world because you deserve every single thing that you're getting in life. Follow Tony, INDU Tony, follow Producer of Produce, follow Pama Pandora Marks, follow me at Maldo Marco, follow the show at another MMA cast, rate and review as Knucklehead. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and every platform you think of, Blog Talk Radio.
You know, we need the reviews, good comments, 5 stars. It shows the algorithm and people can find us. Tell a friend to a friend to a friend, a neighbor, cousins, nephews, brothers, sisters. So, you know, we can add one more listeners. Try this weekend, Prelins on ESPN Plus and the main card on proper ESPN. It's a new era, brother. We got to meet you guys. Catch you next week. Enjoy the fights.
Thank you very much, Marco. And I just wanted to give a big shout out to Bellator 219, which is happening this weekend as well on Friday. So check that out as well. And just like that, Tammy,
we are out of here. Bye, y'all.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.